Thank you. All lines are now bridged.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the USCI Task Force meeting. We're excited to kick off phase two of this work. So call the meeting to order. Of the members, we have Christina Caraballo, Terry O'Malley, Stephen Lane, Cheryl Turney, Ken Kawamoto, Valerie Gray, and Sasha Termock. Are there any other members that have joined the call so far? Okay. With that, I'm going to first hand it over to Terry and Christina to review a few outstanding items from phase one before we start the phase two discussion.
Great. Hello, everyone. Hey, Christina, do you want me to take this or do you want to?
You can go ahead.
Okay. All right. So great work, gang. We got our recommendations. All but two of them passed the high tax, or with the high tax blessing, I should say. And but we have our two amendments that were proposed during the high tax session, and we're going to put them up on the screen and then ask for a vote to accept or reject them. And the first, so they're not highlighted, are they? I guess not. Yep, here we go. All right. So the first was under recommendation four. And
Sorry, is it possible to zoom in a little bit? Thanks.
Yep, that's even better. Okay. So the red text is what we are voting on. It's the proposed edition by Carolyn Peterson, which we shall consider. So I'll give you a couple of seconds to read it. And let me ask if anyone has any discussion that they'd like to have about this.
I'll just say I think it's a great addition. We've been cautious in terms of how much we've wanted to ask to pack in to USCDI version one, but I think this is definitely one that's worth adding if HITAC agrees.
Great. Okay. Any other comments or discussions? Hearing none, we'll go on to our vote. So all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Okay. And those opposed, nay. Those abstaining. So the ayes have it, and so we will pass that on to the high tech with the blessing of our task force. And then, Adam, if you can scroll us down to recommendation 28, Charlie. So a comment was made that saying that some we had previously in where the red text is accreditation body, and we just made a change to professional body, which should include the accreditation bodies as well as non-accreditation bodies that may enumerate providers. This is just a clarification based on a recommendation from the high tech. Any discussion about this item?
I guess I'll just ask, is accreditation, does that have a formal meaning? I mean, clearly licensure is very formal. I asked this question because my wife happens to be a healthcare provider who is certified in her field, but not licensed and not accredited per se. So I just wonder whether. I think professional is great. Now I'm sorry, I was backwards here. So I think having professional instead of accreditation is good because it provides the flexibility that I think we need.
Thank you. Any other comments, questions, concerns? Okay, then hearing none, All in favor of making this change and then move it on to the high tech, please say aye.
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 Okay.
Aye.
Those opposed, please say nay. Any abstentions? And the ayes have it, and we will pass this amended recommendation back to the high tech for next week's meeting. Thank you all very much. And Christina, do you want to do Steve's intro and where we're going from here?
Yeah, that's fine. I think we're moving on to the agenda. So thanks again, everyone, for the phase one recommendations and all the hard work, echoing Terry. Now we're going to go ahead and move on to phase two for Steve to give us an overview. And then at the end of the call, we'll leave it open for questions for Steve and then start moving into our next steps. So if we could go to the next slide. I think it's just our task force, that same task force that we've had. Moving on to the next slide. Here is our work plan. So today's our kickoff with a discussion of the promotion model guidelines. Then we're going to move into the promotion model life cycle. Then on June 14th, we're going to discuss the data element submission criteria. On June 28th, we'll move to the level one classification. July 12th, level two classification. And then July 26th, we're going to discuss the overall USCDI classification and start with our draft recommendations. Then on August 9th, we are hoping to update and refine those and present recommendations, we'll draft recommendations to the high tech in August. So we're looking at an every other week cadence through August. Moving on to the next slide, I think I'll pass it to Steve.
All right, thank you very much. Greetings, everyone. Happy Friday. Appreciate your time, as usual. Congratulations on getting through phase one. So before we dive in some of the details, I wanted to level set a bit in terms of, you know, where you've been relative to your experience with the U.S. core data for interoperability and where we're planning on taking you over the next couple of months or a few months, as Christina mentioned. So a little over a year ago, the draft USCDI and proposed expansion process was laid out in the context of the Trusted Exchange Framework and Common Agreement. And since you are all part of HITECH, you got a chance to weigh in on three particular aspects. So at the high level, the new data classes, at that point, we had not indicated the specific data underneath those data classes, a promotion model process and characteristics by which to judge the readiness for including something in the USCDI. And if you recall, all the way back a year ago, at the end of the document, we had kind of a rough estimation of the year in which particular data element could be targeted for inclusion in the USCDI. So you all gave us a bunch of feedback. The public gave us a bunch of feedback. We all got a lot of good feedback. And then as the news of the USCDI's death was greatly exaggerated, as the saying goes, because as you know, we fully proposed a kind of fleshed out version one of the USCDI earlier this spring as part of our proposed rule to implement the Cures Act. And so before we start the conversation related to phase two for this task force, I wanted to level set on what's changed in the past year so they have a kind of full context for how to approach phase two and the type of recommendations that we're looking for you now at this point, given that we're all a year older and wiser. So all of the feedback that we received in the first release of the USCDI and promotion model were used to inform our thinking of the, you know, what went into the proposed rule, as well as how we were going to engage you all as this part, you know, as part of this process. So just to reiterate again, we proposed the USCDI version one in the proposed rule. So that's kind of one ingredient that you have to work with. And that's really what your phase one recommendations have focused on. Then the other ingredient that you need to keep in mind, and I'll cover how this is relevant, is that as part of the proposed rule, we included a new process that we refer to as the standards version advancement process for standards and implementation guides overall that we reference in a regulation. And we also included the USCDI as a proposed standard to be part of that process, to be an input to that standards version advancement process overall. Foreshadowing for things just to keep in mind again for how they relate to the promotion model that we talk about. So your work on USCDI version 1 and the specific discussion about the data itself is now done. And the next time you will see a final version of USCDI version 1 will be when ONC issues a final rule. So you can have your moment of zen. You can take a deep breath for a few seconds until I get you ready, and energized to take off phase 2, which will focus solely on how ONC can work with the community at large to work through adding data elements to the USCDI on what we think would be an annual basis. And I believe you've gotten this one of the materials, a four-page kind of process document. I'm going to cover a bunch of that document in the slides that I present to you today, so don't worry about flipping to it right now. But largely it lays out if ONC had to implement a promotion model for the USCDI today, here's what we think would work. Your task, put simply, is over the course of the many weeks in meeting, is to effectively redline this document and recommend updates to the process that ONC could then take and use to execute the process over time as we prepare to, release the final rule and have a USCDI version 1 as a baseline on which to subsequently iterate. So a key point that I'd like you to keep in mind throughout the process as we've, taken everybody's feedback into consideration, is that it became clear that we needed to pursue a community-driven process. And so you see a lot of what we try to lay out, both in terms of transparency, predictability, and just overall understanding and clarity about, what's necessary to get promoted through the USCDI process is something that we wanted to make sure that the community at large could understand. So the approach on which we seek your recommendations really embodies that, and we're really looking at putting something in the place that democratizes the process of submitting data elements for consideration and lays out clear guidelines that a single entity or a coalition can focus on to, I'm going to emphasize this here, build a body of evidence around the readiness of a data element to be promoted and ultimately included in the USCDI. So a lot of what I'll walk you through just at a high level here, and what you can read through in more detail in that four-page document, is what kind of evidence, what's the body of evidence that needs to be built and attributed to a particular data element in order for it to get promoted further up along the line to get included in the USCDI. So first I'm going to show you a visual illustration of our vision for how this would work over time, and then I'm going to walk through specific aspects of the process and timing. And lastly, we'll conclude with the formal prose of your charge, and you'll be all ready to go after that. So the way in which, hopefully the slides have all flipped over for you, the way in which we kind of envisioned this is a stepwise approach where at the beginning, as I mentioned, we're looking to really democratize the process. Anyone could submit a data element for consideration, and we expect to get a pretty large number of those, at least to start, and they would sit in this space where we call it comment, kind of the comment level. And I should probably also interject here, we intend to build out, in order to support these processes, a new section in the interoperability standards advisory that would allow for this type of online public engagement. So kind of keep that in mind, that we have this infrastructure component that we intend to build out as well over time to support this community engagement. So data would be submitted, and as you noted from the timeline that you've got, that Christina mentioned, one of the things that you'll be looking at is, what's that first set of information that needs to be attributed to a data element that gets submitted for consideration? And then over time, as the cycles go, the comments, all the data that comes in as comments will subsequently be classified into either a level 1, which is, less mature, or a level 2, which would be slightly more mature and potentially ready to be considered for inclusion in the USCDI. And you can kind of see that stepwise process, you know, that would be on a kind of annual cycle as a data element could work its way up to the USCDI. And ultimately, you can think about this like a funnel perspective, but really that didn't get across the kind of visual that we intended or vision that we have for the process. So largely on the right side is an arbitrary kind of axis of how many data elements could be at a particular level at any point in time. You know, so we think, you know, at least to start, we could get a lot of engagement. There could be, you know, a few hundred data elements or so that people submit at comment level. But when it comes to the actual evidence and, you know, additional detail and information that would need to be associated with those data elements for consideration to be promoted ultimately into the USCDI, that's where we'd start to see some attrition and separation among the readiness of those data and the evidence associated with them. So when it comes to ONC's engagement, as data elements get submitted into that new kind of part of the interoperability standards advisory platform, we would look through and classify based on the characteristics you'll give us feedback on where those data elements fit from a maturity perspective, promotability perspective, and they would either get classified into level one or level two. At the point in time when data elements are at level two, there would be a role, as we've identified here, for the high tax to have an opportunity to weigh in, as well, you know, as the public, which has an opportunity to weigh in on everything, you know, throughout the cycles that we have proposed. But more explicitly, when it comes to including something into the USCDI, we saw that there was a special role for high tax to, you know, have an opportunity to issue recommendations and further consider, you know, what data elements might be applicable to include. And at that point, you know, there's only so much of new data that could be included in a version of the USCDI, you know, on a year after year basis for people to consider. But ultimately, our hope is that on an annual basis, we'd be able to update the USCDI based on the subsequent characteristics that I'll cover, keep moving other data up their various promotion levels. And that would start to signal to the industry, you know, there'd be a more clarity and more predictability around, we've seen this data element now move and have additional evidence attributed to it about its ability to get, you know, moved into level two. And in some cases, you know, the industry would see a data element move from level one to level two, which would be a signal that, you know, it's working its way up the evidence building and implementation testing, et cetera, and that it may be considered for the USCDI in the next year or two, you know, pending additional work by the stakeholder community. And so it starts to lay out that same kind of timeline that I think a lot of people favorably reacted to about charting out a course and a trajectory for the future and giving more of a vision toward, you know, what data elements may be coming up and included into the USCDI. So that's a visual representation of how things would work. We can go on to the next slide to start talking about the actual details in a little bit more an approach here. So at the start, we came up with a set of promotion model guidelines, and I'm going to touch on these in a bit more detail. I normally don't try to read through, but I want to give you kind of the bullet by bullet and what we're thinking here. So, you know, getting back to the first point that I made overall about this being a community-driven process, we wanted to establish a way for any individual or entity to submit a data element to the USCDI process and contribute to its promotion. And so we have a vision that, you know, I may be the one that submits originally the information for a data element to be included in the USCDI, but there may be a whole bunch of other members of my tribe that are really interested in advancing and seeing that data element get included in the USCDI in the future. And all those people can equally participate in, you know, submitting additional evidence and, you know, other types of information about that data and its use in the field to help. Not me. Did we get put on hold?
Yes.
By somebody.
It's on hold.
It could be worse music. I'm not going to sing this to you. That's one thing for sure.
So are we able to mute? Oh, thanks.
Great. All right. Awesome. Very good. I didn't know it was karaoke time yet, right? So getting back to bullet number one, you know, our vision is that, you know, the person or entity or group that submits a data element to the process doesn't necessarily need to be on their own to advance it through. It can be a, you know, community effort at large. Anyone can help contribute to a data element's promotion. The second bullet, which kind of goes without saying, is that we want the promotion model process at the end of the day, you know, in the four pager that you've got, we would ultimately make all of that publicly, you know, available as we are, you know, socializing it with you today, so that the stakeholders that want to advance data elements know exactly what they need to do and how far they need to get data elements and the evidence surrounding them in order to get to a point where, you know, they're ready, the readiness for inclusion into a next, you know, get promoted to a next level is, you know, is visible to them. The third bullet here covers that as the data element is submitted for entry into the process, you know, we'll determine whether the data element enters at a level one or level two or requires more development before entering the process. So it's possible that something could get, you know, kept at a comment level until there's more information that can really clearly sort out whether it belongs in level one or level two. Moving on to the fourth bullet, we thought, and this is subject to your recommendations as well, that if there's a newly proposed data element that's entered in, you know, as part of the process, it may have a wealth of evidence associated with it, but we thought that it would be helpful for everyone from this kind of public and transparent process that even if we would directly classify a data element based on the body of evidence that's submitted with it as a level two kind of in terms of its readiness, that a data element couldn't just be inserted directly in for consideration to the USCDI, and that it would need to go through at least one cycle, so 1 year's worth of public comment, high-tech evaluation and recommendations, and then subsequently, you know, reviewed by the National Coordinator for Inclusion in the USCDI. So there, that seemed to be something that was a not too timely of a way to slow things down, but as a way to keep the predictability of the USCDI promotion model overall. And then, you know, we had this discussion internally about, you know, what do we do with data elements that kind of sit there and languish, and perhaps the community that originally was energized to advance a data element gets focused on something else or priorities change. And eventually we want to have some way to archive and kind of keep the pipeline clean, for lack of a better word, after a particular period of time. And so there's some notes in there in the main four-page document that cover, you know, when we think this cleanup process should commence. Let me move on to the next slide. All right. So I covered some of this in, you know, detail already, but I'll kind of tell you what I told you already. You know, so as data elements get submitted, you know, we would have kind of a web-based form approach. They would get submitted in as comments, and then they would be classified into the particular levels. As I discussed just before, we have suggested as, you know, part of this document and prepared process, you know, that each data element and the level at which they're at would have three submission cycles before they would kind of be moved and cleaned up from an archive perspective. And data could certainly be resubmitted again. So we're not, you know, there's no prohibition on people, you know, resubmitting or groups resubmitting the data element if it were eventually moved over and archived or removed out of the main pipeline. But it's just to kind of keep things clear in terms of what's making progress and what seems to be languishing. And, you know, again, in terms of moving between levels, we have another three submission cycle kind of process that we've recommended as well. I don't know that there's anything else. Oh, one last thing that we also thought that would be helpful, you know, to have some due process. Sometimes there's misunderstandings about the evidence that could be submitted. And, you know, since ONC would be the ones classifying data elements into level one or level two, we either thought it would be helpful to offer an opportunity for a stakeholder or whomever might be most passionate about that data element or had recently submitted some body of evidence, that's for a debrief on the classification decision that we came to. So again, ultimately some process things that you may have some feedback on as well. But ultimately I wanted to make sure that, you know, stakeholders had ample opportunity to make sure that, you know, all of the evidence that could be associated with the data element was rightfully considered, and that the classification level, was appropriately assigned. And that really is, again, to emphasize to you all as part of your phase two, I really see the meat of your work, again, if you remember a year ago, looking at what are the characteristics that are necessary for ONC to use to classify data elements that are submitted through this process as a level one or level two item. And maybe I'll take one quick digression here to say, you may remember that we had emerging and candidate and other kind of terminology. You all pursued some terminology as well as part of, your first round at this a year ago. There's a lot of, different interpretations and intent behind a lot of the meanings of the data or the categorization labels. So we chose to just refer to things as level one and level two, and then level three, as you saw in the graphic earlier, is equivalent to the US CDI. But we attempted not to cause any type of additional consternation around the labeling associated with the particular levels at this point, and just to kind of keep it simple in terms of the promotion levels up to level three. Let's move on to the next slide. So when it comes to submitting data elements, we've tried to follow a kind of keep it simple approach. And when the data element gets first submitted into, say, the intake kind of form or system that we would stand up, there's a set of kind of informational questions that we would ask. And that's the first half of this slide at the top half. I'm not going to cover these in detail here because you're going to spend a lot of time talking about them amongst the task force members. And then subsequently, as we start to dive into, what would constitute a data element that has sufficient evidence to be classified at level one, we start to look at what do we need, what do industry stakeholders need to have greater confidence that this data is ready for prime time and can be promoted, up the ladder into level two and then ultimately into the US CDI, which would be effectively for nationwide exchange. So to be formally entered into the process at level one, so after it's just submitted with its generic information, a data element would also need to identify one developed use case, including its relevance to nationwide exchange, and then identify at least one content standard or implementation guide with which it can be used, and then demonstrate that it's been tested for exchange. So we start to see here, and you'll start to connect the dots as we look at what it takes to move something from level one to level two, an increasing rigor in the testing and implementation experience that industry stakeholders have with the data elements. And so we'd like to get to a place, from a vision perspective, that the community is driving the data elements that it prioritizes is clear based on these characteristics for what it takes to move something from the comments to level one and from level one to level two and from level two ultimately to the US CDI, that if it means they need to do additional work and engage in a particular standards development organization, that they know that they already have to go and do that, and it's not something that is identified later on in the process. And so they can really map out a 2-year plan, a 3-year plan, a 5-year plan, whatever the plan is that they want to take to advance the maturity of a data element or a set of data elements. It could be an entire data class, using our US CDI parlance to advance something up the promotion model. Again, ultimately laying out the body of evidence and implementation experience that we'd like to see from the community, and again, having it be community driven. So when we get to a point, perhaps this is my main point at the moment, when something is considered for the US CDI, there is already implementation experience associated with that data element. And so, this is a little bit of a change in terms of, where we've been, but it's where we understand and where we understand the industry would like to go. Where we would like to go would be that, as we consider including things that would eventually make its way into regulation, that it's not regulation that is driving that data into the industry. It's actually the, industry moving this data element forward and having a clear, predictable process to see that data find its way into the US CDI and then subsequently be used from a regulatory perspective. All right, let's go to the next slide. So I've tried to give a couple examples of, you know, where things were based on the prior version of the USCDI that we put out last year, you know, things that would fit into the kind of comment level. If you remember from that document that we put out a year ago, we kind of assessed where certain data elements are captured, if they could be represented today in FHIR or the consolidated CDA. And so, you know, the two that I highlight here would be in the comment level where they don't currently have enough evidence built around them, enough standards work to associate or meet the level one characteristics that I just covered on the prior slide. Employment status is one that seemed like it could at least have met the level one criteria. These are just illustrative. I'm sure there's you know, bones to pick with all of them. You know, again, just for your reference, I didn't want to give you the full detail of what the characteristics were without giving you a couple examples. And I'll try to do the same as well for level two as we go forward. Next slide. All right, so to move from level one to level two, again, you know, you'll see this is kind of a cumulative building of evidence, you know, as you work your way up those steps from the graphic that I displayed earlier. And to move to level two, we thought that it would be helpful for the evidence necessary to be that the data element has achieved sufficient technical development to be tested at scale. So in this case, you know, for something at level one, it could be, you know, kind of relatively limited scale in its testing. And as we looked from a level one to level two classification, then we looked at, you know, making sure that there were technical representations in the content standard, perhaps as necessary vocabulary bindings or value set bindings. So as you know, in the USCDI, you know, you reference particular value sets, code systems, or vocabularies as necessary, or you could have something, you know, like clinical notes where it could be unstructured or, you know, kind of free text, but it has a, you know, representation, a way in or which the syntax is structured around it such that the data can be exchanged ultimately if it were included in the USCDI. And then, you know, we included, I don't want to say arbitrarily, but at least as a starting point, that it would be good for two independent systems to have tested the use of this data element as a start. And this is certainly an area where I can expect you all to have many discussion and time thinking about, you know, what's the right N number of systems, you know, or stakeholders for which the data should be exchanged in order for evidence to be clear that, you know, the data element is ready for, you know, promotion to the next level. So that's level one to level two. Let's move to the next slide. Here's a couple of examples in terms of, you know, what would fit into the level two. So look here at the data elements that were included in the transition to care certification criterion since 2012. And so if you're students of our certification program and criteria, you're, you know, well aware that even though the, aforementioned named, you know, MU common data set that subsequently changed to the common clinical data set, you know, have also had additional data attributed to particular certification criteria. And so for the transitions of care certification criterion, in order to support the CMS incentive programs, we required the common clinical data set, as an example, plus a few other data elements that health IT developers needed to include in their system to meet the transitions of care certification criteria. And these are some that are listed in that certification criterion. And so they would largely get to the point where they would fit into level two kind of out of the gate because they're already implemented in production, you know, nationwide effectively by virtue of both the 2014 edition and 2015 edition. They just didn't happen to be included in the common clinical data set for various reasons at the beginning, but they may be considered now for inclusion in the USCDI as this process kicks off. So we can go on to the next slide. All right, so it's a two-part slide combo here. So to move something in from level two into the USCDI, again, another kind of expansion of its characteristics and the body of evidence that would be associated with that data element's readiness. So there's one part around technical maturity. And so here we've moved from, you know, being tested in two independent systems to being tested in four independent systems. And, you know, that, again, is something for you all to discuss, or some other alternative that you think would be a better characteristic for ONC to consider from a classification. And then the other thing that we thought would be helpful and relevant would be that there's, you know, formal published documentation for that data elements representation and exchange. And so, you know, typically that would be through a standards development organization, but, you know, there could be other mechanisms by which that could be accomplished. Ultimately, though, that there is documentation that would be available to the stakeholder community to implement and use that data element or data class as may be necessary. And then the second component that we added for consideration to move from level two to the USCDI was, and this really gets at informing the processes that the HITAC would need to consider as well as ONC, the nationwide applicability of that data element. And so we included some more qualitative information and quantitative information about that data element that the stakeholder community would need to represent to make sure that the data element is really, really ready and prepared to be included in the USCDI. So I'm not going to touch on each of these in particular, but they really illustrate the type of information that we would be looking for. Certainly welcome, you know, as part of your recommendation analysis. You know, if you don't like any of the four of these, you know, you could certainly recommend alternatives. If there's some other tweak or pivot to some of the language that you think would be helpful and make it easier to implement and administer, then that's certainly welcome, you know, comment as well. Next slide. So in terms of where the HITAC would fit in, we think it would be the best use of the HITAC's time to weigh in on the kind of inflection between level two and then data, you know, promoted into the USCDI. So that's really kind of a crucial policy determination and an area where we thought that recommendations and evaluation from the HITAC would be important. And so part of that process would be to look and say, you know, let's say there are 10 data elements that happen to be, just to make the math easy, at level two, when the cycle comes around for the HITAC, you know, review, you would get to look and look at the body of evidence associated with all 10 of those data elements that are at level two, and then cumulatively look at the impact of if, let's say, all 10 of them were ready to be included in the next version of the USCDI, you know, what would be the cumulative impact of including all 10 of them? And it may be that you determine that, or you would recommend, you know, 8 out of the 10 are the highest priority to include in the next version of the USCDI, and then the latter two, albeit important, should wait to the next cycle because the cumulative impact of including, you know, the 8 that you've recommended are significant enough that the industry would need some time to, you know, fully consider them as part of that new version of the USCDI. And you would be providing these recommendations to the ONC on an annual basis. And ultimately, when it something would move from level two to the USCDI, ONC, the national coordinator, would consider the HITAC feedback, the public feedback, and, you know, these other kind of similar characteristics of the kind of cumulative impact related to the including the data in the USCDI. All right, we're getting close to the end of my stock presentation here. Next slide. So when I talked about the ingredients early on, wanted to show you kind of a process timeline for how these things would fit together. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, we won't see the final version of the USCDI version 1 until we issue a final rule, and I can't predict when exactly that will occur. But we know based on the cycles that we'd like to pursue for the standards version advancement process, which we expect to be annual, and the USCDI process, which we expect to be annual, that we couldn't run them at the same time cycle. So we had to offset one, you know, from the other, and we determined that it would be best to have the USCDI process run on a July to July, so to speak, schedule from a 12-month perspective, and have the standards version advancement process run on a typical calendar year schedule. And so the way that that works would be after the final rule comes out, there will be some, you know, period in between the start of a calendar year where we would expect to be able to start up the US CDI promotional model process. And then at the beginning of the calendar year, for whenever that subsequent calendar year would be, we would put out a version 2 draft of the US CDI, and the stakeholders would get an opportunity to comment on that, including the HITAC, which would be for the level 2 items, which would be the ones eligible for promotion into the US CDI. And we would ultimately review those, subsequently go through any other internal processes that we have, and we'd publish a final version of the US CDI version 2. Now, as I discussed earlier in the beginning, that's not really the finish line for that next version of the US CDI. It would get kicked into the standards version advancement process, which would have its comment period toward the back half of the year, toward the early fall, so to speak, where the US CDI next version plus all the other available standards and implementation specifications that may be eligible for version advancement pursuant to the standards version advancement process would have an opportunity for consideration and ONC approval by the end of the year. And the important point to note, as we've indicated in the proposed rule, as specifications are considered as part of the standards version advancement process, their ultimate approval or recognition by the national coordinator would not result in compulsory or, mandatory change on behalf of, the health IT developers in this case, for the certification program. So, you track through like the version 2 of the US CDI, if you were to hypothetically play that out, and by the end of the standards of version advancement process, version 2 of the US CDI, you would have a version 2 that would be out there, available for, use as part of the standards version advancement process. It would be a signal to industry that there is a new version of the US CDI, and if health IT developers and others had already been building toward or contributed to the evidence associated with certain data elements or data classes, then they would be able to get a jump start on the US CDI version 2. We could go through a number of these cycles, just to kind of play this out hypothetically, where we could get up to a US CDI version 4, some years down the road. And at that point, there may require a subsequent regulatory cycle to formally update that version of the US CDI as the new baseline. So up until the point where, another regulatory cycle would kick in, the industry would be on kind of a moving on a voluntary basis to bite off the pieces of the US CDI updates that it so chose or was interested in doing, fitting it into release cycles and other types of things, up until the point where, we would issue another regulation to update the US CDI as a baseline. So our hope, getting back to the beginning, is that this will ultimately lead to a more predictable, fully aware, kind of fully transparent, road mapped out, aspect of as new versions of the US CDI start to cycle out, then the industry has a sense of, here's where the regulations could be going in the future. Here's where, data, compliance and support requirements could be going in the future. And, there would be an ability to be more planful and figure out, how to integrate in those new data elements over time as part of the US CDI. So, this is a timeline, kind of illustrative process to understand how those ingredients that I mentioned at the beginning fit together in terms of what we propose. Obviously, we need to consider public comment. So, again, this is a kind of hypothetical post-final rule example, given what we have and what you know and what we know, but really wanted to make sure that we could give everyone on the task force a vision for how this will work out into the future so that you can give us the best recommendations possible. So, with that said, I believe I am at the end of my slide deck, but we can go to the next one there, which may just be a request for questions. All right. Yes. Back to the beginning. So your specific mission, should you choose to accept it, as I noted, we have a request for you to effectively, as I said at the beginning, redline, make changes, react to, provide constructive recommendations on top of additions, subtractions, et cetera, to the four-page document that we laid out, which is really the USCDI promotion model process. So in this case, unlike last year, where you kind of have greenfield, you know, we've given you effectively a version 0.9 of the promotion model process that we'd like your feedback on, to the degree that you can get it to a place where you think industry stakeholders would be, you know, fully clear on what they need to do to participate and what ONC would need to do in our role to administer the process. And we would effectively, you know, go through after your recommendations, clean everything up, and then start on the investments that we need to make to, you know, update the interoperability standards advisory platform and other such kind of investments that we need to do to lay everything out to get this ready post-final rule. So that's about it. I appreciate your time and attention. I know it was a lot of talking, a sermon here, but happy to answer any questions that you may have. Certainly happy to come back and cameo as may be relevant, but you're in very good hands with my colleagues on my team, Adam and Al. And thank you again for your continued engagement on the USCDI Task Force.
Thanks, Steve. Do we have time to open it up to any questions that the task force might have for you?
Yeah, I'm here for you.
Great. So let's open it up. Does anybody have any initial questions? Steven, go ahead.
As always, first on the button here. Steve, thank you so much for that presentation. I wanted to maybe ask you to clarify, and I think you covered this, but I just want to be crystal clear, to understand the task force's role in a couple of steps in the process. So when new data elements come forward and they need to be assigned to level one or level two, is that something that you're going to ask the task force to take a first stab at and then bring back the recommendation to HITACH and to the national coordinator? And same question about when it looks like something is ready to be promoted from level one to level two, you know, what is the specific role of our task force in being part of that assessment or making a recommendation?
Sure. So I'll try to unpack this in a couple different ways. At least from a time and administration process to, you know, engage with the HITACH and a task force and, you know, subsequently, you know, work in that regard, we've laid out in this process that for data to get classified into level one or level two, that would be done by ONC solely on the basis of the characteristics that you all will collectively weigh in on now for the type of evidence that would be necessary to classify a data element at level one or level two. So that would be done, you know, on an ongoing basis by ONC, because as data gets submitted on a kind of, you know, throughout the year, so to speak, which is our expectation, that, you know, we would start, you know, incrementally biting off, you know, each of the data elements, looking at them against the characteristics for whether or not they fit at level one or level two, and then assign them to that particular level, you know, and they'd appear kind of in that new section of the interoperability standards advisory platform. So the work of this task force, or a child, so to speak, a new type of USCDI task force is what we envision in the future, where its role would be specifically to weigh in on level two data elements that are considered for promotion to the USCDI. Maybe I'll pause there to see if I answered your question.
Yeah, no, so the initial assignment, one versus two, that's going to be done by ONC based on the criteria that we're going to provide input to. And would the same be true for readiness to go from one to two? There again, we can weigh in on and contribute potentially to the criteria, but ONC will be applying that to make the determination to go from one to two.
That's correct. Yeah. So we this, and this is perhaps why you're hitting the nail on the head in terms of your feedback now will be kind of quintessential and important to our use and execution of the process going forward. So that, you know, as we go through that annual cycle, say a bunch of new, you know, a bunch of stakeholders, you know, work together because they know that they need to, you know, independently test things in, you know, multiple systems. They do all that and they submit that evidence to the, you know, that data elements page, so to speak. When that gets in, we would look at it and say, all right, well, here are the characteristics for a data element to move from level one to level two. It looks like, based on this evidence that's been submitted, that that data element is ready to move, you know, to level one and level two. And we would be doing that on a kind of an ongoing basis. So it you know, getting back to when it would be important to engage the high-tech task force or high-tech overall, again, we thought that would the most relevant time would be when data elements are in level two already and are now considered for full promotion into the USCDI.
Got it. Okay. Thank you.
This is Clem. I put my hand up, but I don't know if I'm next.
Clem, I don't see you, but I see a guest, so that might be you. Oh, but go ahead. Oh, sorry.
Okay, sorry. So, well, two things. I want to say this is really a nice approach, and it's vastly better than the one last year. I really want to applaud that. There's two additional things, though, you might think about adding to the questions about what they are. Is that who's expected to enter it or get it? You know, it might give some hint. Is that going to be the patient, the physician, the hospital service people? Somehow that would be useful to kind of sort it. And the other thing is there is a concern, but you've kind of addressed it in your level, some of your levels, that people will say very broad-based things. And I think you kind of are dealing with that instead of a single scalar number or question or set of questions. So the business about sets of things, like your whole history versus your height, you know, if you had some description of that so people would characterize or at least stay away from just huge things and pick something that could be specified.
Yeah, thanks, Clem. Always ready to dig right into the tactical aspects of here. Yeah, I mean, so one of the things that you all could consider, especially is some of the points that Clem mentioned, you know, the focus that we have in the write-up, you know, which is a bit more prose associated with the slides that I provided, is, you know, that the USCDI is focused on data elements. Data elements will ultimately be part of a data class, as we've kind of, you know, described things. And, you know, there may be various different, you know, data elements at different levels that may all associate with a data class over time, you know, as you can start to see the expansion playing out. But, you know, if there are particular characteristics, I keep using that term for lack of a better, I don't want to use criteria because criteria is overused, you know, characteristics that are attributed to pick, you know, level one or level two, getting back to Stephen Lane's question, that you all feel are relevant for everyone in the community, stakeholder, you know, wide, to know that this is an important factor in ONC considering moving something from, you know, the kind of submitted level to comment to level one, or to move from level one to level two, or, you know, again, ultimately that HITECH would look at as well as part of its deliberations, you know, from level two into the USCDI.
I do see some hands up, but I think we need to move to public comment really quickly and then we can come back.
Hey, Christina, we're actually scheduled to go to four, so we weren't scheduled until closer to four, so we have more time for questions.
Oh, missed that one. Sorry, continue the discussion. Sorry about that, guys. I don't know what's... Okay, good. We've got more time. Mark, I see your hand up. Mark, we can't hear you if you're talking.
Hello?
Hey, Mark, is that you?
Hello?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, perfect. So I had a question on the, so once you have the data element, the proposed data elements defined, and how will you tie those data elements to think tactical standards such as FHIR, and how will you wave them in into health information exchange? What's the link between those the FHIR and those data elements? Or do you intend to separately define and say, here are the data elements, and by the way, here are the code systems and value sets that you need to use to define them?
So that's a great question, Mark. I'm glad you brought it up, because it's kind of a both and here. So, you know, as we've approached the USCDI and as you know, discussed before, the and this is a point that I didn't mention earlier, so you'll have to forgive me, everyone, for doing a, you know, 1 minute monologue here on this. The USCDI, really, as we approach it, is about data policy, right? So as you just brought up, Mark, it's about identifying, you know, here are the priority data elements that are important for a nationwide exchange. We have, as I noted earlier, attributed as applicable value sets, code systems, vocabulary bindings that may be appropriate to that particular data. And then after that, the community knows, you know, this is the data element. Here might be the particular constraints on that data element that are relevant for interoperability. But then the syntax, the content exchange standards that data could go could be variable based on the types of use cases that may be present. And so we have two right now that we have experience with, which is the consolidated CDA and FHIR. And so as we look just solely at, you know, if we are myopic to ONC's regulatory space, you know, we have referenced the USCDI as part of the certification criteria that include the consolidated CDA as a content exchange standard, as well as the new API certification criterion that references FHIR as the kind of base content standard. So in both of those cases, the USCDI would need to be properly, you know, kind of included or embedded within those two content standards. If there is another, you know, content exchange standard like a V2 message or, you know, something else, you know, that may be CDA-based, those would all still be applicable or available for industry stakeholders. And that could be what they test out as part of their level one and level two progression. You know, I know you've worked on some of the cancer reporting and other things like that, right? So there could be other implementation guides that use certain USCDI data. But the point, you know, being for us from a USCDI perspective is that it's effectively content standard or syntax agnostic at this point. And, you know, then leaving it up to the industry to determine what the best ways are to transact with that information, since if they know, you know, this is a data element and here are the semantic kind of associated bindings with it.
Thank you.
Terry?
Yeah, thanks, Christina. So Steve, my question, I guess, goes back to the step diagram and sort of how you funnel down the number of comments that get to level one and level one that gets to level two and finally gets to USCDI. It seems, my impression is, that's a really tight funnel, given the amount of data elements or data classes that are going to want to be in the queue. What are your thoughts on this? I'm a little concerned that it's very slow, but recognize that industry has got a long lead time and is taking on a lot of the burden.
The premise of, you know, each of the levels is that there should be a body of evidence associated with a data element related to its readiness to be promoted, you know, to the next level. And so I could say it in this way first. It would be a great problem for us to have that, you know, we would have, and I'm going to be hyperbolic here, like, you know, many hundreds of data elements that have been, that have had work done with them, you know, semantically, that have had work done with them at various SDOs to include them in content exchange standards, and that they've been, you know, tested across many independent, you know, many different independent systems. I guess, you know, and you all can chime in otherwise, that the practical reality of you know, that happening, at least in the near future, is probably rate limited by, you know, the amount of resources, priorities, et cetera, that everyone has, you know, to do. And I think what we're looking to have is an achievable set of characteristics for each level in the USCDI promotion process. And, you know, that can get things up to level two, especially. And then, you know, there's going to be this dynamic where the high tech, you know, would have an opportunity to weigh in, as well as ONC, to consider, you know, what are the implications of, you know, and I'm, again, this is going to be a hyperbolic hypothetical example, you know, including two or three dozen data elements in the next version of the USCDI, if they are, you know, ready and mature and have gone through that entire process of building the evidence and doing the testing and being, you know, fully spec'd out in the appropriate content exchange standard to be used. That's a good problem to have. I guess I'd love to be in that position, you know, into the future. So I don't know if that helps answer you. Does that help answer your question a bit?
Yeah, I can see there are constraints in the system. In a sense, we're relying on the natural constraints that are built into the system. I guess the question would be, you know, do we have an estimate or an idea of sort of what industry could absorb? And do we have to think about whether all of the elements in the USCDI or all the data classes apply to everyone, or whether someone, but you could get more in if only they only applied to a few of the sectors of healthcare?
So you raised two really good points that I'd like to comment on as well. You know, we've given some thought to. So, you know, the first one being the dynamic of I'm trying to remember what was I know the point that I want to make, but I can't remember how to restate your first question.
And I can't remember it. that's terrible. I guess it sort of jumped to the second question. That was
all right.
Maybe a certification issue that it's sort of, who does the USCDI apply to? Does it apply to everyone equally?
Well, yeah.
Or
so,
is it segmented?
So, maybe I'll start there, and that'll help jog your memory on the first one. Sorry to get you off track. So, you know, for the dynamic of the USCDI, you know, we have to consider that from a certification perspective, and that's something that, you know, we expect to get as part of public comment. There is a broader applicability of the USCDI as a whole, and our expectation is that, you know, separate from the policy parameters that in which it may be applicable from a regulatory perspective, it does send a important signal to the market at large about, here are the data elements that have been, you know, through a rigorous process of sorts, weighed in by the high tech, et cetera, you know, and have made it to, you know, kind of nationwide exchange prominence, have provenance on the mind. And, you know, it may be that only two or three of the particular either data classes or data elements that are, you know, in the USCDI are relevant to a particular use case, but that's what we'd like, ultimately industry stakeholders to look to first, right? So a lot of it is, what kind of guidance to the industry as a whole can the USCDI as a, you know, kind of community-driven process, you know, signal and serve as a resource? And so if you're going to tackle a particular type of use case that only needed some subset of the USCDI, then we'd want stakeholders to be consistent with that subset that they're using and use what's derived from the USCDI. That makes sense. It's not an all data all the time kind of concept, construct.
Yeah. No, that's great. And again, this process is really good. And I think I remembered my first question, which was sort of how many data elements or data classes do you think
could go through
the pipeline?
Yeah, thank you. So, this is a really important point for you all to discuss as well and think about, toward the end of the process when we've defined what we think is the most impactful role for HITACH, would be weighing in on the level two and kind of consideration of the cumulative effect. And I think this is why I got off track. My immediate thought on the answer to your question is it kind of depends. And there's probably a lot of data, and if, Sasha's still on, she can probably comment that there's a lot of data that they capture today that could potentially already be at level two because they're exchanging it with other partners, et cetera, et cetera. No one's ever submitted, kind of brought it up to the broader public engagement. And then there could be new data elements that are really, novel in terms of their specification, overall consideration, clinical priority. And it seems to me like you'll have to kind of take that context into consideration. If there are vital signs, for instance, that are, routinely collected today, but they're not currently in the USCDI, there could be a bunch of those that, wouldn't be too much of a burden to include as part of the USCDI next version. There may be other data elements like a new social determinant of health where there will be, a long tail perhaps with some of them where, health IT developers need to build in ways to collect that data. They need to, you need to go to the SDO and figure out, all right, what are the content exchange standards that are most likely going to be used to exchange this type of data, et cetera, et cetera. All that would, happen up front before something would be considered, included into the USCDI. So that's where kind of my depends, fits in. And it's hard to say, but it seems like we won't necessarily, have a hard quantity assessment. It'll be more on the kind of cumulative evaluation of a few of these data elements seem like they've been in systems forever, but now they're, they've bubbled up to the top. Others are new. The nationwide experience with these is not yet fully kind of robust or comprehensive, and so you need to kind of factor that into consideration.
Hey, Steve, if I could just interject, you said vitals. I thought vitals are already part of at least IRC's requirements because they've been collected and required meaningful use for the last cycle. Am I wrong about that?
You're right. There's a bunch of data that are attributed to vital signs. I'm sure there are other vital signs that all of you could come up with that aren't in that list, and that was kind of what I was getting at.
Okay, thank you.
Just as an example, I don't think body temperature, has been in the vital signs list in the past, but that might be one that would fall into Steve's category of probably widely collected, even though it's not been on that list to my knowledge.
Thanks, Sasha. That was my phone a friend right there.
I don't see any more questions for Steve. Anyone else have any questions?
And certainly, as you all dig in, I'm sure you'll have other thoughts. You're welcome, as I mentioned, to ping Al or Adam or myself, as that comes up, or work it through, Terry and Christina. You're infinitely capable chairs.
Okay, Terry, did we want to get started or let people have some extra time? We didn't really discuss what we would do if we ended a little early. I'm sure we can open it to initial reactions.
Yeah, that let's do that. I think we're gonna run into now public comment, at least pretty soon. But we can, why don't we open it up to sort of anyone who's got anything they want to say.
Terry and Christina, maybe as co-chairs, you want to talk about your vision of how we're going to work through our specific charge here?
Okay.
That's the call we're on next.
But we can give a preview without any planning,
yeah.
You know, if you want. It'll be all ad hoc. And I think my initial sense of that timeline that was given, it's a pretty fluid timeline. I wouldn't read it in the way that says this is what we're going to do this week and this is what we're going to do the next week. It's probably going to be a series of discussions focused perhaps on that issue, but iterating on what was talked before and grabbing what we're about to talk about when and if we have a chance. So it's going to be sort of a rolling process, I suspect.
Yeah, and to that, we've got a nice consolidated 4-page document. So I think one of the things I'd like to request of the task force is to go in on your own and read through it and do the red line. I know Steve mentioned a couple times us redlining that. So I think we can take an approach of working in the actual 4-page document recommendations and also additional recommendations through slides. But we need to tighten that up a little bit and look at whether that's going to go into a Google document and the formatting. But I would definitely say if you haven't read that, the 4 pages.
Can we get that document in Word so we actually can redline?
Lauren?
Yeah, that's no problem. We can get that in Word.
And Steve, I liked what you and Ken did in the ISP task force, where you really kicked it off by, in a sense, redlining, but then writing down the comments. So, you know, going through with what you think are the most significant issues with this whole process, and let's begin to flag them and write them down so we can keep them at top of mind as we go through. So that might be part of the first exercise we do in preparation for the next call. And that's, you know, really each of us just think about what are the issues that are you really think are going to be the critical ones for us to tackle. And the answer, all of the things that are listed here is not the right answer. So we need a little bit of prioritization. But I would offer that up as part of the first batch of homework. Sounds like everyone's quit the task force. I don't know. They're all gone.
We're not all gone.
Okay. All right. Well, why don't Lauren? Why don't we do public comment, and if there's time at the end, go back and sort of keep up our own comments. And if we don't have any, break early.
Sure. Operator, can we open the line?
If you would like to make a public comment, please press *1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the queue. You may press *2 if you would like to remove your comment from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys.
And do we have any comments in the queue?
No comments at this time.
Okay, Terry, hand it back to you, but I think it sounds like we may just wrap up for the day.
I think that's an excellent idea, unless someone has a parting comment.
I second that emotion.
And thanks again to Steve for launching this mighty vessel.
You all got to row the oar, so I'll thank you too.
The overview was really good today of the next charge, so thank you for that.
No, much appreciated.
Okay, thanks everyone.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks everyone. Bye.
Thank you.